Hey, I do this stuff for a living. SteveWebVoiceovers.com. Hello and welcome back to the LifeSpring Family Bible. This is episode number 313. Today we begin the book of Daniel, and we begin with a special guest reader. My good friend James Cooper from the UK will be reading the first four chapters of Daniel. So shall we start? Come on in, James.
Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon advanced against Jerusalem and laid it under siege. Now the Lord delivered King Jehoiakim of Judah into his power, along with some of the vessels of the temple of God. He brought them to the land of Babylonia, to the temple of his God, and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. The king commanded Ashpenaz, who was in charge of his court officials, to choose some of the Israelites who were of loyal and noble descent, young men in whom there was no physical defect and who were handsome, well-versed in all kinds of wisdom, well-educated, having keen insight, and who were capable of entering the king's royal service, and to teach them literature and language of the Babylonians. So the king assigned them a daily ration from his royal delicacies and from the wine he himself drank. They were to be trained for the next 3 years. At the end of that time, they were to enter the king's service. As it turned out, among these young men were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But the overseer of the court's officials renamed them. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, Hananiah he named Shadrach, Mishael he named Meshach, and Azariah he named Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the royal delicacies or the royal wine. He therefore asked the overseer of the court officials for permission not to defile himself. Then God made the overseer of the court officials sympathetic to Daniel. But he responded to Daniel, "I fear my master the king. He is the one who has decided your food and drink. What would happen if he saw that you looked malnourished in comparison to the other young men of your age? If that happened, you would endanger my life with the king." Daniel spoke to the warden, whom the overseer of the court's officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. "Please test your servants for 10 days by providing us with some of the vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who are eating the royal delicacies. Deal with us in light of what you see." So the warden agreed to their proposal and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance was better and their bodies were healthier than all the young men who had been eating the royal delicacies. So the warden removed the delicacies and the wine from their diet and gave them a diet of vegetables instead. Now, as for these four young men, God endowed them with knowledge and skill in all sorts of literature and wisdom, and Daniel had insights into all kinds of visions and dreams. When the time appointed by the king arrived, the overseer of the court's officials brought them into Nebuchadnezzar's presence. When the king spoke to them, he did not find among the entire group anyone like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, or Azariah, so they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and insight the king asked them about, he found them to be 10 times better than any of the magicians and astrologers that were in his entire empire. Now Daniel lived on until the first year of Cyrus the king. Daniel chapter 2. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had many dreams. His mind was disturbed and he suffered from insomnia. The king issued an order to summon the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and wise men in order to explain his dreams to him. So they came and awaited the king's instructions. The king told them, "I have had a dream, and I am anxious to understand the dream." The wise men replied to the king, what follows is in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will disclose its interpretation." The king replied to the wise men, "My decision is firm. If you do not inform me both of the dream and its interpretation, you will be dismembered and your homes reduced to rubble. But if you can disclose the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts, a reward, and considerable honour. So disclose to me the dream and its interpretation." They again replied, "Let the king inform us of the dream, then we will disclose its interpretation." The king replied, "I know for sure that you are attempting to gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you don't inform me of the dream, there is only one thing that is going to happen to you. For you have agreed amongst yourselves to report to me something false and deceitful until such time as things might change. So tell me the dream, and I will have confidence that you can disclose its interpretation." The wise men replied to the king, "There is no man on earth who is able to disclose the king's secret, for no king, regardless of his position or power, has ever requested such a thing from any magician, astrologer, or wise man. What the king is asking is too difficult, and no one exists who can disclose it to the king, except for the gods, but they don't live among mortals." Because of this, the king got furiously angry, and he gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So a decree went out, and the wise men were about to be executed. They also sought Daniel and his friends, so that he could be executed. Then Daniel spoke with prudent counsel to Arioch, who was in charge of the king's executioners, and who had gone out to execute the wise men of Babylon. He inquired of Arioch, the king's deputy, "Why is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested the king to grant him time, that he might disclose the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his home and informed his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the matter. He asked them to pray for mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends would not be destroyed along with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then in a night vision, the mystery was revealed to Daniel. So Daniel praised the God of heaven, saying, "Let the name of God be praised for ever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. He changes times and seasons, disposes some king and establishes others. He gives wisdom to the wise, he imparts knowledge to those with understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light resides in him. O God of my fathers, I acknowledge and glorify you, for you have bestowed wisdom and power upon me. Now you have enabled me to understand what I am requested from you, for you have enabled me to understand the king's dilemma." Then Daniel went to see Arioch, who the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He came and said to him, "Don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. Escort me to the king, and I will disclose the interpretation to him." So Arioch quickly ushered Daniel into the king's presence, saying to him, "I have found a man from the captives of Judah who can make known the interpretation to the king." The king then asked Daniel, whose name was also Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream that I saw, as well as its interpretation?" Daniel replied to the king, "The mystery that the king is asking about is such that no wise men, astrologers, magicians, or diviners can possibly disclose it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the times to come. The dream and visions that you have had while lying on your bed are as follows. As for you, O king, while you were in your bed, your thoughts turned to the future things. The revealer of mysteries has made known to you what will take place. As for me, this mystery was revealed to me not because I possess more wisdom than any other living person, but so that the king may understand the interpretation and comprehend the thoughts of your mind. You, O king, were watching as a great statue, one of impressive size and extraordinary brightness, was standing before you. Its appearance caused alarm. As for that statue, its head was of fine gold, its chest and arms were of silver, its belly and thighs were of bronze, its legs were of iron, its feet were partly of iron and partly of clay. You were watching as a stone was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its iron and clay feet, breaking them into pieces. Then the iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold were broken into pieces without distinction and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors that the wind carries away. Not a trace of them could be found, but the stone that struck the statue became a large mountain that filled the entire earth. This was the dream. Now we will set forth before the king its interpretation. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has granted you sovereignty, power, strength, and honor. Wherever human beings, wild animals, and birds of the sky live, he has given them into your power. He has given you authority over them. You are the head of gold. Now after you, another kingdom will arise, one inferior to yours. Then a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule in all the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom, one strong like iron. Just like iron breaks in pieces and shatters everywhere, and as iron breaks in pieces all of these metals, so it will break in pieces and crush the others. In that you were seeing the feet and toes partly of wet clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Some of the strength of iron will be in it, for you saw iron mixed with wet clay. In that the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, the latter stages of this kingdom will be partly strong and partly fragile. And in that you saw iron mixed with wet clay, so people will be mixed with one another, without adhering to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will raise up an everlasting kingdom that will not be destroyed, and a kingdom that will not be left to other people. It will break in pieces and bring about the demise of all these kingdoms, but it will stand forever. You saw that a stone was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. It smashed the iron, bronze, clay, silver, and gold into pieces. The great God has made known to the king what will occur in the future. The dream is certain, and his interpretation is reliable. Then King Nebuchadnezzar bowed down with his face to the ground and paid homage to Daniel. He gave orders to offer sacrifice and incense to him. The king replied to Daniel, "Certainly your God is a God of gods, and Lord of kings, and revealers of mystery, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king elevated Daniel to high position and bestowed on him many marvelous gifts. He granted him authority over the entire province of Babylon, and made him the main prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon. Daniel himself served in the king's court.
Thank you, James, so much for the reading of the Word today. I always enjoy listening to your voice. James hosts the podcast for his church, Minehead Baptist Church, and you can hear it at minehead-baptist.com. They've got some great teaching there, and I highly recommend it. I think these first two chapters in Daniel are two of the most famous chapters in the Bible. They are prophetic in nature, of course, and the subject of much study. Well, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow when we continue in the book of Daniel. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.